This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello there. We're at 406.
How come we're always at 4:06?
I don't know. It's just funny how that works out that way.
Yeah. You got this thing with timing and all that?
I think so.
Jeez Louise.
Everything's got to be timed.
You people at the radio world, I don't know.
Well, what's up, Mike?
Well, the sun's up and it's beautiful outside. Now I'm sitting in this little square box with you. And there's no sunshine in here, just these weird lights.
And just a lot of Lysol that was sprayed in here.
Yeah, and Lysol, yeah. Lysol, they had to disinfect me before I came
in. I think it just about killed me.
Well, anyway, thank you for listening out there. And hopefully there's somebody listening. That's my goal, at least. And we have garden questions that you may ask, and I will answer. Perhaps you'll like the answer, perhaps not, but there will be... right on the money. I trust my judgment in that. I've been at this a few years, so. But if you want to ask a question, 673-4464 is the number you call, and they'll patch you right through to this little square box we're in. So, anyway, you know, it's, well, it's sunny today, but when I was writing my radio show notes the other day, it was kind of wet and cloudy and cold, and I thought, boy, I thought March would have a better
outcome.
A couple of better days in there somewhere, and now I can't complain about this afternoon.
Nope.
It's absolutely gorgeous out there. It's
it is.
Kind of day where we should do the radio show outside in the parking lot so we can experience some of that sunshine.
Hey, I'm game.
Yeah, but you'd have to have a long cord for the plugs to plug all this in, right?
And Kyle's approval.
Yeah, and Kyle's approval. That's no problem. Yeah. But we have had a very cool, foggy March thus far.
Yeah.
A few nice afternoons, but not many. But in spite of all that, the trees are blossoming, and some of them are actually putting on leaves, and you can see that spring is here. And with spring, it's like, whoa, the earth is going to continue to survive, and hopefully we'll get through this spring with all this other stuff happening.
Sidetracked.
Yeah, sidetracked with the weird stuff that's
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, man.
Well, anyway, besides, we need to be planning for our vegetable gardens. If you haven't, or if you want to, now is a good time to plan for all that. I wouldn't rush out there and plant anything right now. It's still, oh gosh, I think it was 32 at my house this morning again. So any tomato plant I would have stuck out would be brown by now. But to plan and say, well, what do I want to eat? What do I like to eat? What will I actually use? And then the other question is, can I do it? Can I grow it? Well, hopefully I'll give you some hints today that will help you kind of settle some questions in your mind about the soil or timing or, you know, those kinds of things. So if you do have a question on gardens, please call 673-4464. And I will attempt to help you and get you on the right track for vegetable gardening this beautiful spring of 2020. And, but, you know, gardens really, they don't really start, you shouldn't start planting until we have some consistent warm days. That means more than two in a row, maybe like three or four in a row. And, you know, because it takes a while for that soil to heat up and warm up. And, but like I say, it's not just the sunshine that we need. It's that soil. It's been, you know, it rained, what, two nights ago?
Two
nights ago. So that always has a cooling effect on the soil. Mm-hmm. So if you go to one of these stores that has all our tomatoes and strawberries and whatever else sitting out there for sale, you can take them home and plant them. But if you do, the soil is cold. They're going to sit there for a while until that soil reaches a certain temperature that will promote root growth. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it kind of just stays dormant. And the worst part of that whole thing is that where these vegetable plants have been grown is a controlled atmospheric greenhouse that always is never gets below, say, 40 and never gets above 65 or something like that. And so they're grown in ideal conditions. And there they are. They pop up by their little tray, and they get up there about a foot tall or whatever. And then the a lot of the box stores and stuff begin to get their truckloads in from wherever, some from California, some from Oregon, I'm sure.
China,
no, I hope not. But at any rate, they go from that beautiful temperature-controlled, moisture-controlled greenhouse out into this, well, we had hail the other day too.
Yes, we did.
You know, so and these things are sitting outside of these box stores, and I don't
getting
know how much.
Pelted.
Yeah, getting pelted and damaging the plant, cooling the plant off, and I would wait, just wait another week or two, possibly maybe even 3 weeks until, like I say, we need some warm, consistently warm days and. The early morning times and temps should be at least, you know, 35 or above. You don't want to get anything that was 30 degrees the night before and go out and think it's going to be all right, because these small plants are in a very thin plastic kind of container. And they have maybe an inch of soil or maybe an inch and a half of soil around the root system. Well, that cold can penetrate that little plastic thing very easily.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they're all grouped together in one place, so it's usually the outside plants in these containers that would be damaged first. And if it was cold enough, long enough, of course, that cold penetrates all the way through there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not what you call an advantageous start to...
No.
You know, the heated greenhouse. If you got a greenhouse now, if you buy some of these and you're listening to my words, you can keep them in your kitchen window or a window that has some light, or even in a garage, because the garage maybe get down to 38 or 40.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're by a window and they can catch some sunlight, that's at least better than just kind of jamming in the ground and say, why isn't that thing growing? I watered it six times.
grow, baby, grow.
But it's not, because the conditions are detrimental to good plant growth and good root growth. So just that's something that you have to think about. And the thing is, too, when you put it right in, when you put it in the soil, it's like I say, it's going to sit there for a while. And maybe the roots will rot. Maybe the cold will kill it. Maybe, but what it is not is a good, healthy plant, ready to go, ready to grow. It's not going to just shoot up and grow anything until that soil warms up and until the air warms up. Now, the reason I talk about the soil so much is because it like I say, it stays damp and it's cool and it's whatever the word is, there's so much there that it just doesn't dry out very quickly. That heat does not penetrate down into that ground maybe half an inch on days like today, maybe a quarter of an inch. But you stick your finger in there, and if it feels cold, hey, forget it. Just wait, be patient, because you can plant a garden. I've planted them as late as June, you know, because that's when all my leftovers, nobody else is coming in and buying, so I've got leftover tomatoes and peppers and, you know, squash or whatever, and that's what I put in my garden. Well, I'll have it all tilled up, ready to go, put it in, water it once, and it's like in 2 weeks, it's amazing.
Bingo.
How fast it's growing, simply because of the soil temperature and the air temperature. It's a combination there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you will have success. The other way, you maybe have to buy new plants and do a second planting. And, you know, that's
kind of time defeats the purpose.
Yeah, time and money and energy and all that. just don't rush the process. It's like I say, you can... Mid-April is good enough, or like I say, you can go into May, and like I've done, you can get into June and still have a great, great crop, because the heat is what makes that stuff really take off.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, even though the soil is kind of damp and wet, it's a really great time for the soil prep. You know, you got to get it tilled up. Yep. Or maybe you got to spray the weeds first before you're going to till it up. But when you're tilling, you can till if you've already had a garden in one spot for years and you've already added amendments and stuff like that, that's good. But you could add a few more amendments, because the nicer, the looser, the faster draining the soil is, the more quickly plants can root in and get going and get a great start. But if you have, you know, like I say, old clay, Douglas County clay soil, you're going to have to add soil, mulch, peat moss, sand, anything to break up that clay so that the root systems don't have a struggle pushing into a hard clay base. That's really important. And those ingredients that I just mentioned, like the mulch or peat moss or sand or anything like that, they tend to soak up any excess moisture, thereby slow the warming process up a little bit. But the soil prep will give you a better plant growth, and that all just leads to a better crop, a more abundant crop, something that really takes off and goes. Now, one way to get around that, if you don't have a large yard, or maybe you don't have any yard, but you got a deck, or you got a, you know, something that you can put a raised bed on. Now, raised beds can be built on the ground with block or wood or whatever, and get them up off the hard pan clay. Or if you have a deck and you want a, they make boxes now with 3-foot legs so that you can stand beside your planting box, fill it with your good soil, and plant your plants. And it'll fit on a patio, it'll fit on a deck. And if you had like 3 of these boxes, some of them, they're about 4 feet long, 2 feet wide, somewhere in that vicinity. I've never actually measured them, but I've, you know, just eyeballed them. Mm-hmm. And if you had 3 or 4 of those, you can grow all the vegetables you want to eat, especially nice. Unless you got 7 kids, you know.
Well,
then you'd need a few more boxes. But if you're in a condo with only a patio, I don't know why you got 7 kids in there. But at any rate, oh gosh.
Oh, that would be crowded.
It would be a crowded deal. But the raised beds like are very good drainage and of excess of the water, and they also will define the size of your vegetable farm. In other words, what I've seen over the years is people have a tendency to make, if they've got the room, to make their garden really large, mm-hmm. thinking everybody needs a lot of space. Well, they really truly don't. And in fact, if they're closer together, they do better for a variety of reasons. But when you get a big one like that, you're doing an awful lot of extra work and putting extra ingredients, unless you've got a large family and they're all going to work in the garden and it's okay. But, and as I said in the past shows, when I'm talking gardens, a 10-by-10 garden, will you can grow $700 to $1,000 worth of vegetables in it in a season.
Wow.
I mean, that's how...
That would be plenty of
plenty. I mean, when you figure, well, how much you pay a pound for tomatoes at Freddy's or Safeway or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And how many tomatoes are in that pound, mm-hmm. and... you know, when one tomato plant can grow 50, 60 pounds of tomatoes, and you got 10 of them, you got 600 pounds of tomatoes. What the heck are you going to do with them?
That's a lot of salads.
You can only eat so many of those puppies. And then you go, dude, I hate tomatoes. I don't ever want to see another tomato in my
life. We're going to have lasagna again.
Yeah, lasagna, spaghetti tonight. Yeah, it's really, really saucy, too.
Speaking of which, we got to take a break.
Oh, let's take a break.
All right. We'll be back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We are at 4:22, and in a good-looking day here in the Umpqua Valley.
Yeah, that's right. And I know you. I know there's some eager beaver gardeners out there, and I'm just trying to give you a few hints about, you know, getting it ready and premature planting and those kinds of things. And one thing I've noticed, and I just talked about size of the garden and, yeah, and, you know, what you can do if you don't want a large garden with planter boxes or containers and things like that. But first-time farmers, gardeners, whatever, have a tendency to overplant. and just remember, like I said earlier in the earlier segment, you know, one healthy tomato plant can yield 50, 60 pounds of produce.
Yeah, that's my dad never learned that trick.
You had to eat tomatoes for 6 months straight.
Oh, man. And zucchini.
Oh, gosh. One zucchini is enough for any neighborhood.
I know it.
Golly.
I don't know what his problem was.
Well, I had, you know, since I have leftovers sometimes, yeah, I can't just throw them away, so I got to plant them out. So I plant them out, and one time I think I had five or six zucchini plants. You know, there's some ways you can prepare them for dinner,
right,
and they taste pretty good if you put some onions and some other things in butter and, you know, and quick fry them or do something. But when you get one that's about 2 feet long and 8 inches in diameter, that open, you can almost build a house inside.
In there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. And they don't taste so good. If you get them small and young when they're just forming.
Like a cucumber.
Exactly. A little bit bigger than maybe than a cucumber. They're not bad. I mean, I've gotten used to them. I've had to get used to them. My wife says, here, you're going to get used to this. Yeah.
That's the way Dad was.
Yeah, get used to this, buddy.
Eat it and shut up.
Yeah. Finish everything on your plate and
yes,
shut up.
Yes.
Okay. Or you can't go out for the next 3 months. So anyway, I talked about the 10x10 raised bed, and like I say, a family can eat. You can eat and eat and eat, eat on that. But I'm also guilty of planting too much in my garden and giving away the surplus. There are some times in the fall, late August, early September, where we're picking. I can't just leave them on the vine, so I got to pick them and bring them up. We put them in shopping bags, and we have them on a counter there. And some poor soul comes in to buy a rhododendron and says, "Hey, do you want some tomatoes?" "Oh yeah." And when you hand them a shopping bag full of tomatoes, and their eyes get real big. "Well, it's a lot." And I say, "Yeah, well, you know, we only got 17 more bags of these. You know, we don't want them to go to waste."
Give it to your mother-in-law.
Yeah, right. Oh gosh. So I have been guilty of what I'm speaking about. So I speak from experience. You know, you can only eat so many tomatoes, peppers, and potatoes. Okay. But and one year I planted one row of potatoes. About 70 feet long. I got four different types. I got seed potatoes from the farmers co-op down here, and they all grew wonderfully. I mounded them up and I planted them in the mounds, and they were with all the other stuff, and it was just one row of potatoes, but it was 70 feet long about, and I only got 300 pounds of spuds off that one
Good
row.
Lord,
300 pounds. Yeah. Uh huh.
And I
had the miniature small little potatoes, and I had the big honking potatoes, anyway, we saved as much as we could, but around December, January, they were pretty much shot. Yeah.
And you can't freeze those puppies, can
no,
you?
They don't work good in they don't work good in the freezer. So but you know, so don't overplant. Like
no.
Your first time, learn from your experience. Just put a few things in and see how it works. And from that actual tending and seeing how they grow, you'll gain a whole lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you got barrels, like the half wine barrel things and or something of equivalent size, you can put three plants in each one of those, like three tomato plants in one and three pepper plants in another and three of something else in another. And you'd be amazed at how much you'll get from that. So we've reduced our gardening capacity greatly to a planter that's just about as big as this room. It's
a
round planter. And we've got blueberries in there, and we've got and the tomatoes and the peppers and all that. And we still have
plenty
more than we can consume,
wow,
you know, in any one time. But, you know, three pots on a patio or a deck if you're in a condo is a very inexpensive way to learn the basics and eliminate mistakes. Why waste it? Just get her done and do. And if you have that kind of situation, make sure the pots are in a sunny location. and filled with good potting soil. And, you know, the mixtures I've talked about, peat moss and mulch and potting soil and a little bit of sand and a little bit of soil. And the more you mix it, the better it is. And when you got pots like that, and that's your whole garden, they're easy to weed, they're easy to water, they're easy to fertilize, they don't take a whole lot of time. And if you might have a couple of weeds every day, and that takes you less than 10 seconds to pick them, and then you sit back and relax and watch your plants grow, you know?
That's cool.
That's the easy way. And, you know, once the season is over, You'll know whether to expand on your little farm or go to the farmer's market in the future instead. I don't want to do this no more. I'm just going to go to somebody who actually does this, like Cruz or Brosai or those farmer's market guys.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They've done all the labor. They've done all the weeding and all that stuff. But, you know, here's one thing, one last thought, you know, with the current events that we're having right now. Be safe and plant a toilet paper tree and avoid the crowds.
And water it daily.
I don't know. I didn't have that in my notes. But the main reason, and this is what gave me the idea, Ben. The main reason I'm speaking about food and gardens and all that kind of stuff is that if there are any food shortages in the future, like we got places being closed down all over because the governmental authorities are trying to keep us safe. Well, I don't quite believe that. I don't quite agree with it at all. But, you know, the restaurants now, some of them are closed. Yep. McMinimins is in today's paper.
Yeah.
McMinimins is closed. Well, okay. I don't know why I haven't read the article, but that's what the
temporarily
headline.
Closed.
Oh, temporarily. Well, there's a lot of places temporarily, and a lot of folks, you know, are affected by that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So why not learn how to grow a garden so that just because there's a crisis like we have and the government wants to shut us down and keep us holed up in our homes where we can't go to the store or something. Hey, you got some kind of food. You've got some kind of nourishment that you are growing.
Right.
So in the future, you know, you can be ready with your own veggies.
I'm going to take that up to my daughter. She's got a nice big backyard there.
Well,
just growing weeds at the moment.
Well, you know, and you like I say, the garden, if you took a rototiller and tilled three rows, I don't know. And so you had a 4-foot wide, 30-foot garden. That's not a lot of work.
No.
But you can put a lot of stuff in there. That's huge.
It's even fenced, too.
Yeah.
So we're all set up.
There you go. And the deer won't get in there and destroy it
in
5 minutes.
Ideal. That's a great idea. Now you
See? You listen to me for a change.
You see the light come on?
Woo, yeah, I did. Popped right. There was a bump on the forehead there.
We got a phone call.
Okay. We'll do the phone call.
And good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Thank you.
Hello.
I've got a question about... Hi, I've got a question about berries.
Yes.
My neighbor gave me some blackberry and raspberries. They're in pots. How much spacing do I need when I plant those?
Do you know what type of blackberry it is? Is it like our natural blackberries that grow around here?
I was told that they're thornless blackberries.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
As far as my knowledge goes.
Okay. Well, how big of a space do you have? Do you have do you live in a house in a neighborhood, or do you have some more space?
House in a neighborhood, and I've got plenty of space.
Okay. Well, I would plant them on opposite sides of the yard. Give them a lot of room because they expand very quickly, and each year they continue to expand, and you don't want to crowd them up because then it becomes a jungle and hard to take care of, hard to prune, and all that. So give them a minimum of 20 feet apart. That's the kind of thing I would do.
All right. And if you got time, one more question.
Sure.
I just mowed my lawn, and I got a few dandelions and weeds in there.
Yep.
Is there a spray that is recommended to take care of those this time of the year?
This time of the year, it's kind of touch and go. But if you wait till we have some consistent non-rainy days, it works better. And, yes, there are many sprays on the market. I hesitate to... just say use this one or this one or that one because they're, you can look and there'll be 10 different sprays there. Read the labels real closely. And like if you're at the co-op or something like that, say, hey, which one would be the best for dandelions? And
Okay.
And just be real careful. Don't do a wholesale spray job on it. Aim your sprayer right at the center of the dandelion, and you know, it takes a little bit more time, but it's much more effective that way.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye.
All righty. A thornless blackberry.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that's not like what you see growing all over Roseburg on hillsides and stuff.
Okay,
thornless is actual agricultural type of blackberry that farmers actually grow.
Is it kind of like a bush? Or
no,
it actually...
well, it has the same growth habit as our Oregon blackberries, but not as ferocious would be the word, or consuming like your entire yard.
Okay. You know,
they don't do that, and you
nice.
Can and they're a larger blackberry, and they're and you can pick them, and you know how the regular blackberries, mm-hmm. if you grabbed it, you come back
right.
with a bloody hand. Right?
Yeah.
Well, the thornless ones, that's not the problem.
Nice.
So it's easier to work with, gives you good fruit, good production, and once they're established, takes very little care. So.
Sounds like my kind of blackberry.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good so far.
Got a couple of questions for you. I kind of got interrupted in the middle of the show, so I kind of missed part when he was talking. I want to put in some raised beds, but like 2 foot up. How deep should I have the dirt?
You're going to build a box 2 feet
yeah.
tall?
Yeah, up off the ground, you know, with legs on it and stuff.
Oh, with legs on it? Well, yeah. You should have, for most vegetables, probably 8 to 10 inches of good soil would be ample to grow stuff in. Now, potatoes or something like that come to maturity under the ground, you'd have to have a little bit deeper. But most things, lettuce, tomatoes, peppers, you know, that kind of thing, 8 to 10 inches, maybe a foot of soil would be more than ample.
Okay, great. Now, another question. I got a lot of, like, a gray-colored moss on my trees out here.
Yeah.
How do I get rid of it? Do I live with it or what?
Well, you're probably going to have to live with it because that happens here in Southern Oregon a lot. But if they're short trees where you can, I found the most effective way is to take your hand and just rub it up and down the stem and knock the moss off that way. I've tried different sprays with that moss, and I have not been satisfied with the results at all.
Oh, okay. Then what about mosses growing in my flower beds?
Well, I use Roundup on that stuff. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. And give it a good strong shot of Roundup, and they will turn black on you in about a week or so, maybe 10 days. They'll turn black, and they won't come back.
Okay, well, got one other question. I have a prune tree out here.
Uh-huh.
It blooms really great, but it only puts out 2 or 3 dozen prunes a year. Does it need a friend?
You don't know what kind of prune it is, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, are you in a neighborhood situation?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other prunes or plums in the vicinity, do you think, within a block or so?
No, I doubt it. Hmm. I doubt it very much.
Well, how old is the tree?
Oh, maybe 8 years. It's a dwarf or semi-dwarf.
Yeah, have you pruned it and kept it short?
Yeah, it's only about 7 feet high, maybe.
Okay, well... what I preach about on pruning, especially fruit trees, is keep them short and keep them open, you know, and let the air circulate around and through the branches so that there's not a whole bundle of branches all just, you know, jammed together.
Yeah.
And then the branches that you have left after you've done your pruning, those are the ones that are going to have the most energy. So when the fruit comes on those branches, they're going to be the best fruit because there's no competition from a whole bunch of other little skinny branches that are just having, you know, leaves and no fruit.
Yeah,
does it make sense to you?
Well, yeah, I know some trees have to have a friend, so I thought, well, maybe that was the reason for this. But I got it pretty well pruned out, you know, thinned out, so it's not real big, you know, a mess inside there.
Yeah, well, go buy another prune tree then, or another plum tree, or something like that, and put them...
Well, maybe I'm going to have to.
Right, well, because cross-pollination's going to help, no matter what.
Yeah, right, so... Okay, hey, thanks, appreciate the info.
Hey, you're sure welcome. Thanks
right.
for calling.
Right.
Thank you. Well, we better take another break here.
All right.
There, we found it.
Good, I'm glad we found it.
3:37 and right back with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, right here on News Radio 1240 KQAN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
How do you like my singing there?
No, oh, that was wonderful. I hope we weren't on the air when you were singing. Everybody turn the radio off.
All right, Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show. We are back.
And I'm going to repeat myself a little bit here. But
all right.
But the main reason I'm speaking about food production and gardens and all that is that if there are any food shortages in the future because of some crisis or virus or whatever, you know, you can be ready and you can eat with your own vegetable mm-hmm. garden. And, you know, we as a society have gotten away from self-sufficiency. And I think we can see that with all the cell phones running around where people are staring at them all the time.
We're not
thinking of how do I take care of myself? You know, I'll just go to Freddy's. No, suppose Freddy's ain't open, like, mm-hmm. or Costco out there and all that. I believe we need to learn to survive without government help. And, you know, Ms. Brown up there are shutting things down left and right and closing
What'd
schools.
What'd you call her?
Ms. Brown.
Oh, Ms. Brown.
Well, what do you think I said?
I don't.
Okay, never mind. but to learn how to survive without government in there interfering and supposedly helping. And so these might be new skills that you have to learn. But they will be useful in the event of food shortages. And if you don't have your own food supply or access to that, you don't want to be in a situation where there's a severe food shortage or severe time of disease or upheaval where you can't even go to the store and buy anything. And if you do get in the store, the shelves are empty. You know, look around the world. That's happened in the past. I mean, there's... You can see lots of photos if you have the internet of where this has occurred. I have a friend that was born and raised in the Ukraine, and when she had her first baby, gosh, I don't know how many years old he is now, but she told me about standing in line to get into the market for several hours outside the market in the town that they lived in. And when they got in there, there was very little to choose from. So you had to buy whatever was available and try again the next day because of the shortage. I mean, it's I don't want to go through that. And we need to think about that. And we need to think to be self-sufficient as a society so that we don't have to go through those drastic measures. But like I say, the new skills, you're going to learn them. They're going to be useful. They're going to make you more self-sufficient. And if you're more self-sufficient, you just feel better. You feel safer. So the thing is, where do you go for the information? Where do you go for the training? Well, in our high-tech society, I'll revert back to that momentarily, we have more info on the net than we can possibly absorb. It will be useful, but there's nothing to compare with speaking with the super gardener in your neighborhood. You know, the guy down the street four houses that always has this huge garden and it always looks good and it produces, you know, truckloads of food for crying out loud just down the street in your neighborhood. And every neighborhood has at least one of these dudes or one of these ladies that does that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really in trouble if the husband and wife do it together, because then there's more food than you can possibly see. But, you know, ask them, how do you do this? I mean, what do you do for the soil? What do you till in, and how do you fix it so it grows something? Or how do you water it? How do you fertilize it? And they're going to tell you how to do it. You know, and they're going to tell you, if you ask what grows best and how big of a garden should I plant? And, you know, over the years, I've met thousands of plant people, nursery owners, people that come in, clients that come in that are interested in buying plants from us. And 99% of them love to share information. None that I've asked questions of told me, no, I'm not going to tell you. You know, when I go visit a big nursery and I'm looking for particular products and they're like, you know, 20 times larger than I am and I'm talking to whoever's helping me and I'll say, how do you guys do that? And they say, oh, we do this, this, and this, and this. They're free with their information. And it's good information because I'm looking at their product and their product is excellent. So, hey, ask questions. It's okay. Like I say, most people who like plants, who garden and stuff like that, they are full of information. They want to share it. And, you know, you'll walk away a brilliant gardener. And we're blessed to have the master gardeners here right in Douglas County. These folks are fanatics when it comes to gardening and growing plants. I mean, they are right there, man. They want to do it, and they want to know all that they can learn.
They want to get it done.
They want to get it done. And all of them are very friendly and will tell you all you want to know. And I've spoken to the master gardeners a couple times. They usually invite me once a year to talk on a particular subject. And about a month ago, I was in there talking about new lawns and stuff like that. And the soil prep and the preparation of everything is basically the same as when you're doing a garden, for crying out loud. And there was probably, I'll bet close to 100 people in there that were in the first Master Gardener class.
Nice.
And I said, any questions? Wow. And I answered questions for, 15, 20 minutes nonstop. And there was still, you know, more questions to be answered.
Wow.
But they want to know.
Sure.
And they'll take that knowledge and try it at their property and do what I said. Mm-hmm. and experiment on their own and maybe even find a better way because of their geographical location, sun, shade, steep, flat, mud, soil, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But that information is really great to have. So
absolutely,
join the Master Gardeners. You can be part of the club, you know, monthly meetings. There's a display, beautiful display garden at River Forks. They also have greenhouses there. They grow a lot of veggies. You can see, I mean, these folks are just, you know, into it. And like I say, they want to do it. And there's lots of classes available. It's a great organization. And it's, where they meet is in the old church next to the courthouse there. Same side of the street as the courthouse. Plenty of parking. And they meet in the downstairs auditorium there. That's where the OSU Extension office is. And you can go in there and talk to them. They'll give you lots of literature, sign you up. I don't know what it costs to be a member. Maybe nothing, but I'm sure there might be, you know, a $10 fee. Or
a little bit of a fee.
Yeah, a little bit of a fee. But what you get from it is priceless, and it's the real thing to do. And last but not least, go to a real nursery when you're buying stuff. Ask for help. The bottom line is to educate yourself on the do's and the don'ts. I don't say this as a personal criticism, but if you go to a box store and you go into the garden area, very few of those people actually know how to grow a plant or tell you how to plant them or what's best. Does it grow in sun or shade? They'll read the label to you if the plant has a label
right
on it. And it's not because they're bad people. They just haven't been educated. They're salespeople, and they're wonderful people, but they don't have the background or the knowledge to make sure that you have success. So you know, food storage is also another skill that we have missed out on.
Should we do that after the break?
Okay. All right.
Food storage. After the break, Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Obviously, we're back. News Radio 1240 KQEN, and we're going to talk about food.
We're still talking about food storage.
Storage.
We've gone through the gardening aspect, if you will. But food storage, you know, you grow so much stuff, you go, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with all this food? I can't eat it in a year. Well, that's another skill we have missed out on.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, I believe the Master Gardeners would have a chapter on that probably in the fall or late summer.
Boy, they cover all bases.
Oh, yeah, they do. They really
nice.
Cover all bases. Yeah. And so learn how to can your own veggies or freeze them. You know, I don't know what the best is. You know, something like potatoes can be stored in a cool, dry place for months. And, you know, our grandparents and great-grandparents knew all this stuff because they had to know it.
Mm-hmm.
There were no Freddy's and there were no Safeways and, you know, there were depressions and,
right.
and all that kind of stuff. So they grew, not only did they grow their own food, they knew how to put it away that it'll last mm-hmm. them, you know, over the winter so they could grow another garden.
My grandmother had a big old potato storage bin.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
pulled it. Yeah.
Right.
Pulled out. There
sure.
it was, a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. And if you know a person that, say, is part of the farmer's market, we got a, you know, a huge farmer's market kind of thing going around here in Douglas County. There's several locations, and there's all kinds of folks there that grow, you know, vegetables, and some are there selling trinkets or, you know, homegrown carved animals and stuff like that. But the majority of it is food. And, mm-hmm. and you can, and those folks... They're very knowledgeable because they're not only growing it, it looks good and it's healthy. They're bringing it to market and people are buying it too. Well, how about this? You want to offer to work for them the next summer and get paid in produce and learn all you can, and that's a pretty fair trade. And let them teach you. You know, actually work with them hand in hand. And when you do a garden, there is genuine satisfaction and pleasure in growing your own food, and you've accomplished something really good. And some people might think a simple, like Mike, who is it, Bloomberg? The guy who was running for president?
Right.
Yeah, he says, oh, we don't need to help the farmers. It's real simple. All you got to do is dig a hole, stick a seed in, and water it, you know? Like, that guy is an imbecile. You know, that's my true thought on him. He doesn't understand what agriculture is all about, you know.
Well, he dropped out.
Yeah, thankfully. but you know what? When you do a garden, like I said, there's, you know, great satisfaction in what you do and growing your own food. And it's a real life skill. And you'll be eating no matter, you know, what crisis hits the world. And, you know, way back when I grew my first apple tree, and I've told the story before, when I was like in second grade, I saved some seeds from an apple that I was eating, and I planted them in a Campbell's soup cup and put the can on my bedroom windowsill. And my mom said it wouldn't grow, and she was wrong. Something grew. I couldn't say if it was an apple tree or not, but something grew. And that was like my first experiment in growing stuff.
Maybe nobody marijuana.
No, it wasn't marijuana. This is in the 50s, man. There weren't that many marijuana plants around. But at any rate, see, there was something inside of me that said, hey, if I put these seeds in there, I'll grow an apple tree. Something did come up, and I called it an apple tree. And my mom said, no, it's a weed. You know. So how would you know, Mom? You never grew an apple tree. But
what'd you do with it?
I don't recall.
You don't remember?
I don't remember. They didn't produce any apples in the soup can. I know that.
No. Darn.
So I think we moved not too long right after that. But my favorite thing to grow was potatoes. I love potatoes, man. I always had a good crop, and I look forward to the French fries I was going to eat in my garden. And, you know, some of the easy stuff to grow are like carrots, potatoes, onions, peppers, strawberries, tomatoes, squash, melons, corn, lettuce. You know, those are all easy. It doesn't take a mental giant of an agricultural scientist to grow these things. If you do the basic things that I'm talking about, you mm-hmm. will have good success. And there's more to it than what Mike Bloomberg was talking about. we had a man on one of our ranches that grew his garden on our land. And it was about a quarter of an acre, maybe half an acre, but I can't, it was a long time ago. But he had plants of all kinds and grew truckloads of this stuff. And his family was large. He had 11 children.
Wow.
And they all helped in the garden. And we never had to go to the store to buy a vegetable one. I mean, he grew, everything you could even think of. He grew them and they were fresh. And you know, so if you have a large yard and a portion is unused and maybe a friend wants to grow a garden, make a deal. Let them pay you in produce. Let them
do a little bartering.
Yeah, a little bartering. And, you know, you're giving the land, the water, et cetera, and he's growing you some food. And maybe he doesn't have a space. Maybe he lives in an apartment with no backyard, something like that. It's a win-win proposition. So gear up and don't wait till Freddy's runs out of food. Plant your own, and don't participate in the crises that will, it seems like, to continually pop up from day to day or week to week and that kind of thing. So, have you any comments, sir?
I do not.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Well, anything that we can put on the air, anyway.
Well, good. That's a good thing. This year I'm going to really be meticulous in what I grow at the nursery.
Are you?
Yeah, it's just I want to try to get the proper balance of too much versus too little.
Okay.
And one year I planted about, a quarter of an acre of corn. You know, I was...
Can never have too much corn.
Oh, my gosh. We ought to have seen this corn. And then what I did, I put sunflowers in between the rows of corn.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I had more sunflowers than you can shake a stick at. And they were huge. They were just huge. And they were full of seeds and all that. But you can only eat so much of that stuff.
True.
And we gave it away and gave it away and gave it away, along with the tomatoes and the peppers and all the rest of the stuff. But... on one hand, I was glad to see it all grow so much, but on the other hand, I hate to waste.
Right.
You know, I'd rather give it away. And there's so many nonprofits around here that feed people, mm-hmm. but sometimes there's restrictions on what you can donate, especially if it's not in a can or in a frozen package or something like that.
Yeah.
Here's some fresh corn. Well, sometimes they can't accept that because they don't know you or they don't know the origin or what it's been treated with.
And the government said, no.
Oh, yeah, because you're a nonprofit and you can't do that. So, at any rate. Well,
yeah.
I hope I gave somebody some ideas out there and you can take these and be successful in your gardens. And I'll come back with some more next week.
All right. We'll see you next time and stay healthy.
I will.